Great to be with you and to share in this lovely sunny day, isn't it? Great to have the sunshine after the storm. I was wondering what it was going to be like travelling down, but it's been really nice. I live in Shrewsbury these days, so it's been nice to drive through the Buckinghamshire countryside this morning. Lovely to be with you and to open up God's Word. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 4 this morning. Let me begin by reading part of this to you. So Daniel chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 1 to verse 18. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was fruit for all. Under it the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him." The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means. For none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can. because the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in you. Well, that was a puzzle for Nebuchadnezzar, and maybe a bit of a puzzle for us too. So, let's thank God that not only we have the dream, but the interpretation that Daniel was given, and that we have the help of the Holy Spirit to bring the benefit of this dreadful experience for our benefit. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this part of your word which teaches us so much that will help us to get our own lives in perspective, that will help us to see your reign, and that we may be able to live in this world of fear and loss in the knowledge of your grace and your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks, Tim. Let's turn to our talk. And the title I've given it is King of Kings. There you have something of the British statement of royalty, and that not only the crown, but the orb with the cross on it. It's a lovely symbol, isn't it? That the one who reigns over the world is Jesus. But of course, that's not how people think. Human power is all about us. And that's what's wrong in the world. And that's always been the way where power, human power, crushes others. Sometimes it's exercised graciously, but so often it crushes others. And people can live in such fear. So it's good that we know that over all the world is the sign of the cross. And in a real sense, that's it. I could go away now. That's where we're coming to at the end of this. So I'll tell you now at the beginning. But let's go on the journey with the story. Dream on Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know what Nebuchadnezzar had to eat before he went to bed at night, but he should give up on the strong cheese, I think, because he had some really bad dreams. We've read about this one. Must have been scary, because it's like this marvellous picture of the tree reaching up to the heavens, a bit like the Tower of Babylon, yeah? Reaching up to the heavens. But it's seen from the ends of the earth. Wow, what a marvellous picture. And the birds of the air find shelter there. And there's the animals are there. And everything has been provided from this tree that gets cut down. And it's about a hymn. Did you notice that? Let him be. Ah, it's, you know, if you have dreams like this, it's scary, isn't it? Because what's it all about? Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream before. You remember his dream about the colossus that was there with a head of gold and its breastplate and all down to the feet? Chapter 2. Remember that one? And then the rock that's cut out and crushes the feet, and the whole thing collapses. And Daniel, nobody was told about the dream. Daniel had to come with the dream and its interpretation. And it was an interpretation for the future, that God's kingdom would crush the kingdoms of the world with this rock. I think that's Jesus breaking world power. But King Nebuchadnezzar, he just thought, that's for the future. And he hung on to the bit that really mattered to him. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. And that's why chapter 3, I think, he built his massive image of gold. And everybody had to come and bow down and worship him, really. because that's what it was standing for. But human power collapses. And now here's dream number two. And with this one, he is literally stumped. You like my humor, don't you? You got it? Yeah? He couldn't get what it was about. Nobody else could get what it was about, even though he told them the dream. The wise men were all stumped. This great tree cut down, but its stump left in the ground and bound with iron. It's a right royal nightmare. Yeah. But then we get Daniel. He comes in and you'll notice how he responds loyally to the king. He wants the best for the king. Even though King Nebuchadnezzar really was rather puffed up about himself. It was all about him. He wants the best. 19 to 22. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. You know, I wish this was for the people who are against you. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar was the superpower of the day. He was the one who had conquered nations. He was the king of kings. He was the mighty one. And all of the nations, because that's what the birds of the air and the animals stand for, were finding shelter under his rule. He wants the best for the king. In line with God's word, Jeremiah had said, when you go into exile, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is how God wants his people to behave in exile. And we, brothers and sisters, citizens of the heavenly Zion, we live as people in exile in this world. So pray for the people. Pray for our prime minister. Pray for the church leaders. Pray for world leaders. Because as we pray for them and the nation prospers, you too will prosper. God wants to bring goodness to the world, even though there's so much wrong. So pray. I really like that, by the way, Falaki. It's ours to pray. It's God's to do. Yeah? Thank you for that. That's it. We pray, and God acts. But he won't hide the worst. Listen to how he goes on. Your Majesty saw a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. Well, this is the interpretation, Your Majesty. And this is the decree the Most High has issued against my Lord the King. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms and earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Do you see what God is doing here? Nebuchadnezzar wasn't the best of rulers. He was selfish and used power. Oh yes, no doubt he gave lots of gifts out because that got him lots of favors in return. But he was very self-centered. And this message of judgment, for it was a warning. It may be, Daniel says, that if you turn from your wicked ways and turn to God, it may not happen. God's like that. God, if we change our ways, God, who never changes, can change the result, because that is His desire. The sovereign God wants everyone, everywhere, to repent, to realize we got it wrong. That includes a superpower who's got it super wrong. No matter how bad he'd been, God was saying, I'm going to cut you down. But Daniel, as God's messenger, because he knows God, says, if you just turn, it may be that God will stay His hand. But it was a lost opportunity. Verse 28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace at Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? And even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms of earth and gives them to anyone He wishes. Got that? God is in control of world power just now. God is in control. Not the White House, certainly not Downing Street, and it's not the Kremlin or anywhere else. God is in control and is working out His purposes. We sometimes don't know how He's doing it and why He puts in place those He does. But He's in control. Immediately, what had been said about King Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. You see, just knowing the answer is not the answer. Must have given Nebuchadnezzar a great deal of relief to know, oh, that's what it's all about. Okay, got it, I can sleep easy again. But just knowing the answer is not the answer. We actually need to learn the lesson. Heed the warning. Respond in faith, saying, okay, Daniel said, this is going to happen, but look, if you just Turn from your wickedness. God is gracious. It needs a response in faith. I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar is a warning for us. We can know all the answer. We can even know that the Lord is King. We can know that God is in control. But we don't pray. And we don't trust Him. We don't call upon Him. We miss out. Just knowing is not the answer. It's about trusting and responding in faith. And when we need to change, and we all do, when God graciously puts His finger on our lives, as we're reading the Bible and we realize, oh yeah, that's something I need to deal with, that we do it. It's a hard lesson, and it was painfully taught, but it was for Nebuchadnezzar's good. Listen to this. At the end of that time, so it's a story with a happy ending. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can call back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At that time, at the time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. A mighty tree, cut down to a stump, but bound by bronze and iron, because God was going to keep this man. Even so, puffed up with pride, and out of the stump would make something even better. Nebuchadnezzar wants to let everybody know this, and that's why his words are included in God's word. Because, verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." Wow, what a sermon, eh? That's how it began, telling us this was Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, if you like. But what a message that he learned. And we are intended to learn from all the pain that he went through. And isn't this the thing that came out again and again through the story? The Most High, God, is sovereign. He's the King over the kingdoms of men. God is the King. He's the only one who is King of all kings. The Most High is the sovereign one. He humbles the proud, as Nebuchadnezzar discovered, as the proud equivalents of today will discover. He humbles the proud, and he sets the lowliest over all. Hang on to that. Hold that thought. What does it mean? Well, let's turn to Jesus. Very briefly, but importantly. Because Jesus, when he was teaching one of the many parables of the kingdom, he said this. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. It's the same imagery, isn't it? A place of safety for the nations. But this tree, not the great tree that looks grand and tall and can be seen from the ends of the earth and it's reaching up to the heavens. God's kingdom is like a mustard seed. Tiny and insignificant. And grows into a bush that's the largest of the garden plants. It still maybe doesn't seem all that spectacular. But there's a place for all the nations to come and find refuge in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like that, says Jesus. Not proud and pompous. Small, but growing, and a place of safety for all the nations, for all people. Heaven rules. The kingdom of heaven is the way that Matthew's gospel records Jesus' teaching. The reign of God, where God is his sovereign rule. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven's reign is like this. And God's chosen king is the lowliest of men, who, though he was in very nature God, did not count equality with God something to be grabbed out or held on to at all costs, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And being found in human likeness, he humbled himself, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus, God's anointed King, the Christ, is Lord. His humility, his tree of shame, becomes a tree of life for us, if we believe. That's all. If we trust him. If we say, I have no other hope but you. It's not about how much money there is, how many nuclear weapons there are, how much power there is in the world. My only hope is in you, the one who has conquered death through death for me. The God who went to the cross to be the Saviour of the world. That's what God's kingdom is like. That's what it looks like. And he sets over it the lowliest of men who embodies the heart of God who is love. His crown is not the one of pomp and circumstance. It's the crown of thorns, because he bore all the pain of our sin so that we may live with him forever. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that there is hope for all who will believe, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is Jesus, and we worship him. Amen. Amen.